Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni na Radiju Študent na frekvenci 89,3 MHz. Danes je z nami Tomas Renoldner, animator, direktor enodnevnega festivala animiranega filma v Avstriji in pa tudi kurator programa, ki se je v četrtek zgodil v slovenski animateki. Šlo je torej za avstrijsko retrospektivo. Tomas, very nice to have you with us. This is not your first time in Slovenia. You were already on first Animateka. You even had your film and Animateka 2012. Mm-hmm. Are you still doing on animations at the moment?
Yes, I continue to work on my own films as well. But I need to find the time to do it because it's not so easy to make a living from that. But yeah, I'm working on a new project. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Okay, maybe you remember Sunny Afternoon. It started with a quite funny sequence where I had just a little number of photographs, and I would use them for micro editing, like very shortcut. And now I do something similar with myself as an actor, and I will also use my voice. So I will edit the picture and the voice. I'm saying three sentences, but then I cut them so in micro pieces, so it kind of transforms into music more or less. So I mean, it's hard to describe, but it will be funny. I have a I have a project title for it, calling it slapstick animation. So avant-garde slapstick. That's the title. So it will be kind of an avant-garde film, but at the same time, kind of a slapstick film. So it will be funny.
So you like to work with music also, like Sunny Afternoon is made one tone, one musical note per 12 frames or something like that.
Yeah, well, it's not exactly like that, but I had 16 photographs, and every photograph of this 16 was corresponding to a note and on the scale, so like a melody. So the photographs were playing the melody, so to say. I mean, the first interest in my life was indeed music, and I wanted to become a musician, but then life gave me another path to go, but I'm still very interested in music, and very often I combine music with picture or try to work on the relationship, image and sound.
You also mentioned that you were working on this avant-garde film, yet you said on Animateka 2012 in an interview that you sort of don't like avant-garde films.
Mm.
So how come you decided to go in that direction?
I don't think I said that I don't like avant-garde film. I'm very interested in avant-garde film and in experimental film, but I just think that very often this kind of filmmaking is a little bit narrow-minded, or it's like sometimes I have this feeling that avant-garde film is like a set of rules which you should follow, which you should not break. So in a way, I sometimes have also the feeling, even if it's kind of anti-rules or anti-position or sometimes I have the feeling simply it's another set of rules which are similar, binding like in traditional film or something like that. So I'm very interested to break the rules between to break the rules which exist in different ways of filmmaking.
So
combine different strategies I hope it.
So also these films that were in Slovenian Cinematheque, you named one lot avant-garde commercial films. So are these also the movies that are breaking the conventional form?
I don't know exactly which you're meaning now.
In this first lot, you have like avant-garde commercial movies.
Yes. Well, this is very interesting. It is about the time of the 50s and the 60s, when in Austria it was Yeah, actually, a little bit later, the classical avant-garde film in Austria started. But before that, I found that some people who were working in commercials were trying to use, because they had no other possibility. They didn't have the money to be really independent. So I think they used the commercials to do something similar to avant-garde. They used the commercial film as a field of experimentation. Yeah, and I mean, we know this, for instance, from filmmakers like Len Lai or others who also later it was said that it was a commercial. In fact, it was a free work in the case of Len Lai. They just put the ads of the post office at the end of the film or something like that. And also like films of Oscar Fishing or something like that. Sometimes they are connected to commercial.
Was this connected to lack of money for culture? We are talking about 50s.
Would say it was not yet usual to work as an independent filmmaker. I would say the idea was not yet here to work independently. So to work commercially was the only possibility, or to work for some purpose, like a commercial or a narrative film or a children's film or whatever. There were these kind of categories. Really, this movement of independent avant-garde film, like with Kubelka and Kren, it came a bit later. But you know, shortly before already, I see that some artists were using the commercial as a field of experimentation.
So when would you say that animation really started? You also wrote this book, Animation in Österreich, 1832 bis heute. Mm. So when would you say that the animation really started in Austria?
Yeah.
Probably 1832 is the year of the first animation.
Yeah, we were going back to Simon von Stampfer, who invented this stroboscopic wheel, a pre-cinematographic device where you can, with hand-drawn animation on a wheel, and you can turn it around and then you see an animation. Yeah, this was in 1832. I mean, a lot of experiments were made before the film was invented with animated drawings, as people certainly know. Yeah, and actually, Stampfer was really important with this invention.
Who was then the first one to actually live from animated films?
You mean to make the money to live from?
Yes.
Well, in the 20s, there was a huge film industry in Austria. It's very interesting. The first cinemas of the Brothers Lumiere, the first cinemas were opened in Austria. It took a little bit, but then in the 20s, a huge production started, or even in the 10s already, but in the 20s it became really huge. And there was a film production company, and they had an animation department in the 20s, and two people really, I'm sure they made their living from that. Peter Eng and Ladislav Stoshinsky, and they made different also commercials or also animated sequences within feature-length films, like something with a stork, for instance, a bird, which I remember one sequence which Ladislav Stoshinsky made it, that a human character had to transform into the bird, and the bird flies away, and that the bird was animation, and the transformation was kind of a stop trick thing. So they did it a lot of sequences, or some nightmare sequences were done in animation, but as a part of a feature film, things like that.
Are these also some films that we were able to see in Slovenia Cinematheque?
Not this time, I regret to say, because there are still a lot of films which were discovered later. Actually, the program which we will see, it is my first bigger research I made in 1998, and actually it's the reel which I made at that time.
So which are then the movies from the 20s?
We will see, for instance, this very interesting film, Schöpfungsgeschichte, Genese. It's about God creating the world, and I think this is a very nice parallelity, that animation is something where you create life from that material, from paper, from whatever, and to use the topic of the creation of the earth, that God creates the earth, and to do it in animation is quite good. Quite logic to do it in animation, I would say. This is one of the first films, and
I would also like to ask you, when was then the Disney model came in this Austrian film?
Maybe shortly, a little note about the Wiener Bilderbuch number 1. I think this is a really special film from the 1920s, which kind of describes very well the spirit of the time. It's a film by Louis Sale. He is American. He's a German, and he works in America and around the world and everywhere. And he also stopped in Vienna to do one film called Wiener Bilderbogen number 1. And in this film, the starting point is the invention of the radio. And then Louis Sale was trying to imagine what else can be transported from one place to another place, or what else can be... To make it short, he saw this invention of the radio, and then he started to imagine what else could be invented in the future. And then actually in this film you really see the whole development of the technology, of the communication technology of our time. You can see this in the film. If you can see the idea of internet, you can see the idea of YouTube, I mean of email, you can see all that in this film. The guy in his imagination, really, and with the means of animation, he could really see into the technological development of this of the century. It's amazing to see, yeah. To see it.
What do you understand actually by this Disney model?
Okay, well, I think characteristic for the 20s was that animators or cartoonists, they try to be realistic. So they were using the proper proportions of a human body, and the even they praised themselves for being kind of naturalistic. Like Ladislav Stuszynski, for instance. And then later on with the Disney model means that the typical Mickey Mouse figure, that the body's a classical Disney figure, doesn't have the proportion of a human body, but it's like a five-head body, like the figure is five times high, like the head, something like that. So the figures are rounded and I mean, they get this typically, you just imagine Mickey Mouse and it's clear what is Disney style. And so everything gets more simple and goes away from a realistic image of the human body. So, yeah.
Are there also some songs inside?
Okay, yes. It was the time before television arrived. So after the Second World War, people like to go to the cinema. And it was actually really a place where people met and had fun and enjoyed to watch the commercials. And this was, for a very short time, really something where animation was produced a lot. Yeah, in Vienna, people developed a very specific style in their commercials to use the Wiener Lied, as the traditional Vienna folk song, as a basic for funny poems, for funny lyrics, and together with based on those traditional Vienna folk songs to build funny animations. But yeah, all of them being commercials for this or that product.
So what is with this lot about new beginnings? So from 1832 since now, probably the Austrian animation quite developed. So what are these new beginnings that you put in? What are the new beginnings? When did this start?
One of the reasons why I started to be interested in the research about animation is that I was a student in this studio for experimental animation in the masterclass Maria Lasnik at the Academy of Applied Arts. And somehow, this was in the 80s, and somehow those people always said, we are the new Austrian animation, so we are starting something new. And I was always interested to see, okay, but what happened before? And what I couldn't believe that really some animation started in the 80s and there was nothing before that. In the program, what I call new beginnings is actually that artists, what we were talking about before already, that they are using the commercial for artistic expression or for experimentation. And there are a few examples for that, like this Hans Albala, who has developed his own animation table. And what I wanted to say that he was really working similar to Oscar Fischinger in a way, like experimenting with also abstract shapes and music, but without knowing Fischinger. So it's interesting to see kind of the taste of the time of the 50s, that at several spaces or several places in the earth, people start to work in a similar way or try discover abstract animation or discover that you can do also something more than just the Disney model. And it happens on different places, and even if people don't know the other has done the same thing. So, you know, this, I found this quite remarkable.
These were then the new beginnings. What happened then? Did mostly Austrian animation went to this other non-commercial version, or they sticked mostly to this Disney model?
No. I mean, really, the 70s changed everything, or the 60s and 70s changed everything, that finally, really, the independent, the form of the independent filmmaking started. And on the one hand, this movement of the avant-garde film, which we, I think, all know, and parallelly, with the foundation of the Studio of Experimental Animation at the Academy of Applied Arts, really something like a movement of the new experimental Austrian animation started. To describe what happened since then is, technology has changed so dramatically. I mean, if I only think back to when I started animation, I still work on 16mm. And we hardly had computers to do animation. And today my daughter grows up with it, and you can do animation on your mobile phone. I mean, it completely changed everything. I mean, the technological progress changed everything today. And I think we cannot really describe it, what happens today. I think everything happens at the same time, and some people go back and discover what has been done 30 years ago, and it's the postmodern world of everything is possible, or everything is done parallelly, in a way, no? I mean, I think animation is a big boom, and you see everywhere, no? Animation is everywhere, is in the public space, is on your mobile phone, is in the internet, is in the commercials, is in the experimental, I mean.
And you also have this one-day festival that you are director of. Why only one day?
It's a money question on the one hand. At the beginning, it was a money question. We wanted to actually achieve, or this is this international organization, and they had, they started to do the International Animation Day. And in Austria, we thought, okay, let's do something for the International Animation Day. And because it was only one day, we made a one-day animation festival. Okay, that's it. But then 5 or 6 years ago, I had this idea to make a competition program to say, okay, we want to have a competition of Austrian films, Austrian animation, and we weren't just blown away by the number of entries. You know, I mean, we are getting 150 entries, something like, 12 hours of film to last year because there is so much being produced. It's getting a little bit tough with one day now. I'm planning to make it two-day festivals this year for the first time.
Will you change the name then?
Yeah, I think it's a hard decision. I think we will make... At the moment, I think it will be called the 2 Days Animation Festival. Why not? But yeah, I'm flexible with this. But, you know, we start at 12 o'clock with the symposium, and then at 6 o'clock, 3 competition programs, and the prize-giving ceremony is shortly before midnight, and then there is party until 4 in the morning, and this is not an easy thing to stand, and we are all getting a bit older now, and so I think it's better to use 2 days for all those programs. Yeah.
Would you say that actually Austrian film, animation film is now rising?
It's rising, absolutely. And we also have a lot of new schools. I mean, if I compare it with the time when I was a student, there was only, let's say, only one school where you could study animation. And today you have 5 schools at the level of the art universities. And we have even more schools in the area of computer animation, like the so-called, I don't know the English word, Fachhochschule, so specialized schools where you can study for 2 or 3 years and concentrate on computer animation or motion graphics.
You also teach animation,
I teach,
right?
I teach at the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna, yes. But in the last 5 years, a lot of new films came out from those newfounded schools all around. Even in the regular school, some schools have started to have animation programs that you can, even in the age of 14 years, you can start to learn animation. So this produces a big output. And also, a lot of people are independent or self-taught, and they learn the programs on the internet or like this. And so... Yeah, but I think it's not an Austrian phenomenon. I think it's quite international that thanks new technology, animation has become available to many people. So I think it's everywhere growing strongly.
So thanks to new technology, we can watch some of the films online also.
Yes.
And I was wondering whether Austria maybe has like some good web page such as National Board of Canada, where you have like...
Well, I must say, I'm the idea of the One Day Animation Festival, better to say the idea of the best Austrian animation competition, also is to put the films out on the internet, and we are actually building a website, but it's not yet online. I hope it will happen this year, but the fact is that the artists themselves, 70% of the artists put the films on Vimeo at the same time, so all you have to do is to collect the links, and actually you would need just to write a link list, but also some others only want to show a short clip.
What about the older films, such as those like from the 20s?
Yeah, this is a different matter, of course. Yeah, I mean there are maybe also the film archives are not so happy with putting things online, and there are also some platforms like academic platforms who think about offering films with restricted access, that you would have to pay for it, or that you have a... I mean, there are so many possibilities now how to make films accessible, but I'm sure that also the old films will come up. I mean, I cannot tell you now that it's already happening. I just know, for instance, at the academy where I teach, the library is in the process of installing a streaming server where you can watch films then, and at least I will put the films of my students there, and I think this will happen in the coming years. It will happen everywhere that you get to see more films and hopefully in a more organized way than like just chaotically spread in the internet. Yeah, I think this is important to get some organized platforms where you find things.
Okay, so maybe to conclude, will we be able to see your film on the next Animateca Festival?
The next one. I really hope so. I have to... I'm working for a long time now on this film, and it should be possible, yeah.
Okay, hope to see you then.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Intervju Radija Študent.